Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. Feels like it's never gonna. Gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So when somebody please pass the megaphone, I'll shout it on the count of three. Oh, hear my prayer tonight, I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice, let me testify. Oh, hear my prayer tonight, cause this is do or die. The time has come to make a choice, and I choose you. Nations prove
give them one more huge round of applause. Fantastic. What a way to start the night. Merry Christmas, everybody. It is so great to be together and worshiping tonight. I want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve service. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm the lead pastor here at Westgate, and we are just delighted that you have chosen to worship with us this evening. Tonight, we have got such an incredible evening planned for you. And as I was thinking back just on my childhood and thinking about Christmases of the past, I remember that as a young child, that I have very specific memories of some of what I would have considered my best Christmases. There was one in particular when I was really young that I remember that really that evening, my parents before Christmas were getting pretty upset with me because I was that kid that would never go to bed. All I would do is wait up. I wanted to see Santa. I wanted to get all the different, you know, presents and see what was going to be under the tree. But I remember that that year in specific, there was one thing that I really, really wanted. And so I woke up super early that Christmas morning as a young boy. And I remember running out of my room as fast as I could and looking and seeing that underneath the Christmas tree was that one thing that I had really asked for. It was this huge Tonka truck that I had wanted. It was this nice cherry red color, had the gas can that went with it, a little jack and an extra spare tire. And I spent hours changing tires. I mean, my parents probably would have thought I would have been an auto repairman, not a pastor. But I mean, I spent hours on this thing. And I'll tell you something. I remember that as I would spend hours playing with this toy, that there was so much joy that I would experience on Christmas. And there was this moment where it always just felt like things were right in the world. But as I think back, one of the things that I recognize as I think back this past week, is it feels like it's been a long time since it felt like things were all right in the world. Would you agree? There's a sense that we feel in our world today of brokenness. There's a sense of grief and fear. And it seems that there is this unending noise that seems to be crowding out our thoughts in life. And the truth is that I recognize as we walk in here to this service tonight, there are probably many of us that are carrying great burdens with us, even struggling to find our joy amidst the Christmas season. My family and I did our regular Christmas tradition this past week that we've done every year with our kids, which is we all piled into the car and we went looking at Christmas lights in the different neighborhoods of Sylvania and all around. But there's something I noticed that felt different this year, and I don't know if you've noticed it. There are far, far less people that have been decorating their houses. And one of the things that I recognized is that there seems to be this loss of joy even within our culture. And so here we are at Christmas Eve, a night to come together and to experience the joy of Christmas. And it feels like we can't quite capture it. But tonight, maybe that is actually the perfect posture for us to come to worship, bringing our burdens with us. Because at the time of Jesus' birth, there was a lot of noise as well. God's people at that time were under a very heavy, oppressive hand of Rome. And I bet that if you would have asked any of them, they would have told you it's been a long time since we really have felt like things seemed right in the world. But then Jesus came into the world. Tonight is meant to be a night of reflection and also of worship for us as we gather together. And tonight we're going to peer into significant moments in the lives of key people in the scriptures. In the account of the birth of Jesus, all with the purpose of seeking to gain insight and understanding of how we can experience joy even in the midst of great darkness. Tonight, when you came in, you as a couple or individual or your families and especially the kids in the room received a bag. And that bag we're going to use all evening long as we go through our time of reflection and worship. Inside of that bag, you're going to find various different little trinkets, things that are meant to be symbols that will teach us a point as we move through the evening. You'll be prompted to look into your bag. It might be dark at certain points, so you might want to pull out that cell phone and kind of use it as a light to look in the bag. But I want to encourage you as we go along to pull out those elements as you are instructed to, and to think about the significance that goes along with each one. And so as we prepare to worship tonight, let's get our hearts right. Let's set our minds on the Lord and what He has for us to receive as we seek joy in the midst of darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity that You have given us to gather together tonight to worship You. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We have gathered to worship Him. And so, Lord, I pray that You would take the burdens and the things that we have carried into this room tonight, the sorrows, the noise, and Father, we lay it aside so that we can hear from You. And we seek You, and we seek Your joy. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please stand and worship with us?
A child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see Him, to see Him high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. For to us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For to us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh, to see Him high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. We'll pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are high and lifted up, shining. Thank you.
brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, fall.
Favored one, for the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with the Lord. And behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. and he will be great and called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.
And how will all this be?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And for her, this is the sixth month. She was considered unable to bear children. But nothing is impossible with God.
I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word.
That's what the angel told me, Elizabeth. God chose me.
Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her. I must begin the preparations. Don't stay out too much longer.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Behold, all generations from now on will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things to me. Holy is his name. For his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. For he has shown strength with his arms and has scattered the proud with thoughts in their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted ones from humble estates. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, even as he spoke to me.
Even as he spoke to me. He spoke to me. Who am I? I've been waiting for this moment my entire life. We've all been waiting for this moment, praying and dreaming of the day our Messiah would come and free us from our Roman occupiers. But me? A young Jewish girl who comes from nothing, let alone Nazareth. People of this world don't even know we exist. And yet the Almighty God, the one who has power over all of creation, the one who makes the sun rise in the east and set in the west, the one who makes kingdoms rise and fall, chose me. With everything that there is in this world, he chose me.
One of the most beautiful parts about the Christmas story is that God chose this insignificant young girl to not only carry but to nurture and raise his son, our Savior. She came from an insignificant background, and she was nothing special, at least according to the world. But God saw her. So in your bag that you received on the way in here tonight, there is a magnifying glass. And that is to show us that even though we might feel insignificant or small in this world, we might come from nothing. We might be told by the world that we are nothing. We have a designer and creator of this universe that sees us. Would you rise and continue in worship with us?
great, that good news.
Good news of great joy for every woman, every man. This will be a sign to you, a baby born in Bethlehem. Do not be afraid. A company of angels, glory in the highest, and on the earth a peace among those on whom his favor rests. Oh, come and worship. Do not be afraid. 'Cause my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. He has done great things for me, great things for me. Child is born, unto us a son is given. Let every heart prepare its tone, let every nation under heaven. Oh, come and worship, do not be afraid. No, 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 'cause my soul magnifies.
My soul, magnify.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And shall call his name Emmanuel.
So beautiful.
We must tell someone.
We must tell everyone.
Yes, we must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay.
Have you heard? Jesus is here. The Messiah has been born. He's finally here. After all these years of waiting, he has finally come. I can't believe this. This is incredible. He is finally here. The Messiah has come to save us all. This is incredible. All these years, he is finally here. After all these years, I can't believe it.
Everyone must know. Yes. We have to go tell. Yes. Let's go tell yes. everyone.
Let's go. Wait. People must know. Why aren't you following? People must know. Is it that you don't believe? You feel like people won't listen to you? You think they won't believe you? Ah, I get it. Right? Who are you? Who are we that people would stop their busy lives to listen? I mean, none of us are kings, important people that garner the ear and respect of others. But I tell you, my friends and I, we are lowly shepherds. We were out in the fields tending to our stinky sheep. The rest of society sees us as nothing more than people who produce their lambs for slaughter. We are insignificant in their eyes. But my friends, I tell you, when the angels appeared to us and told us of the birth of the Messiah, God chose us to be the first ones to share the news with the rest of the world. Lowly shepherds. But not lowly to him. The prophet Isaiah told us that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us, with all of us, because we all matter to him. That is why people must know. In your bags, you'll find a shepherd's staff. This staff used to remind me of my insignificance in this world. But now, from now on, it shall be a reminder that brings great joy. A reminder that we are significant to him. You matter to him. We all matter to him. People must know. Who will you tell? People must know. Have you heard? The Messiah has been born.
Joyful and triumphant, oh come. I'm positive that's it.
You've been staring at that star for weeks. How can you be certain?
If it is what you think it is, that is going to be a long journey. We must be certain.
I just know. It's the placement of the star in the heavens. It's the brightness of the star in the west. A king has been born to the Jews. We must go.
There's much to prepare, my friends. Order your servants to gather supplies. Ready the camels. Quickly, we must not delay. The journey will be long and arduous to Jerusalem. Let us go. Quickly, begin the preparation.
Melchior, do you believe this king is the one that they've spoken of? You know, the one in their prophetic writings? Their Messiah?
Belshazzar, you're wise beyond your years. It's hard to say for sure, but I believe this is the moment, a moment we would not want to miss.
If it is, we must bring gifts. If the star really does mean that the king has come, we must bring our best. He will be deserving of nothing but our best.
Calm down, Belshazzar. Don't get too worked up. A calm, steady mind brings wisdom. But you are correct. We should bring our best. You have shown much enthusiasm. Why don't you go and gather our best from the treasury?
That was so many years ago. I remember going to that treasury so full of excitement. What should I bring? We had to bring our best for this king. Now, in the bag you have there, you'll find the things that I chose: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it goes without saying, whenever we come to worship a king, we don't come empty-handed. And we don't bring our leftovers, but we come and worship by giving our very best. And that's exactly what we did that night. We brought Jesus our very best. But Casper was right. The journey to Jerusalem was long and arduous, not easy in any regard. The terrain was difficult. The potential for thieves to come and ravage our caravan. And of course, supplies running low. We were all exhausted by the time we arrived. But we had not come all this way to rest now. No, so we began to ask all around, anyone who could possibly tell us where we could find this child who had been born king of the Jews. And then an intriguing thing happened. Word got back to Herod. Now, he had authority over Jerusalem at that time, but he was hated by the people. He was a cruel man, terrified of losing his power and willing to go to any length to protect it. Well, when word got to him that we had come to worship and bring gifts, he summoned us to himself. And let me tell you, he put on quite the show. He had us convinced that he was just as excited as we were, and that when we find this newborn king, we should tell him immediately so that he could join us in welcoming and worshiping him. And so he sent us off on our task. Well, we asked everyone we possibly could, but no one could help us. Then it happened again. The star, there it was in the sky, and it led us to the exact place that we had journeyed for so long to be. Oh, upon entering that house, we were filled with an unspeakable joy. For there he was, before our very eyes, the one born King of the Jews. Tears filled our eyes as we bowed, worshiped, presented our gifts to him. But how would anyone know that this king sent by God would be hated and despised by so many? That night in our dreams, we each heard a voice warning us about Herod's wickedness and his plan to kill this young king. We each awoke in a cold sweat, knowing we must leave immediately and leave by taking a different route so that we wouldn't be found. But little did we know that while Herod would try to rob us, to rob this world of the joy at the coming of this king, that wouldn't be the last of those who hated him. The words of the prophet Isaiah rang so true. Jesus was despised and rejected by many, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, a man who would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. He grew up in this cruel world, the one he had come to save, yet rejected by the masses. I watched from afar, and I could not believe the things I heard that they had done to him. You see that cross in your bag there? To those who hated him, that was a symbol of their victory. They believed they had truly finished him. And that's just what this world does. It seeks to rob us of our joy. Oh, it promises the very best, but it never delivers. And then it tries to take away from us the only thing that can give us the fulfillment and unending joy we so long for. But make no mistake, that symbol of the cross is not the symbol of the world's victory. For Jesus conquered sin and death. He rose from the grave and brought hope to all mankind that we can be reconciled to God. Jesus, the King of the Jews, the King of my heart. Now, in the same way that Herod tried to take Jesus from us, this world will try to rob you of your joy. But cling to Jesus. For in the same way that Jesus overcame Herod, he has overcome this world. And he is our joy and king. Now stand and sing, for he is our joy and king.
Yeah.
Be seated. So do you get the picture? Do you get a little bit of the understanding? You know, as we peer into these small pieces of the Christmas story, what we're reminded of is that Mary, the shepherds, God's people in that day, lived in a time of incredible darkness. For all of them, it had been 400 years since God had spoken to his people. And when the angel appeared to Mary in that room and gave her the great news that Jesus was going to come and that she would be his mother, for her, it was a moment, and for the entire nation to recognize that though God had seemed silent, he still saw them, and he was still with them. And the shepherds, hopeful, like all other Jews, waiting for that moment when their Messiah would come, and then the angels burst forth into the night, breaking through the darkness with such a great light and a proclamation that the Messiah had come. It was a reminder to them, but to the entire world, that God is for you. It doesn't matter if you are the greatest of this world or the least and the most insignificant in the eyes of the world. God is for you. Do you see the picture of how Mary and the shepherds and God's people in the midst of great darkness could find such incredible joy? It is because God was for them and with them. And as the scriptures teach us, it is at that moment that the light broke through the darkness. And that light that was born in the baby Jesus, we have the incredible privilege to live some 2,000 years later and to be able to look back on that story and to understand the even greater narrative that yet had not played out. You see, God's people at that time believed that when Jesus was born, he was just the Messiah that was going to come and solve their earthly problems, get rid of Rome, get rid of their oppressors, give them a time of everlasting peace. But what they didn't know, and we have the clear picture of, is that Jesus came into this world to solve an even greater problem. And that was the problem of sin and darkness's grip on us and the world that surrounds us. And when the light came into the world and he lived this life and then died and gave his life for us, it broke the grip that sin has on our life. And we can live because of that truth with incredible joy, knowing that because of Jesus, that this dark world has no hold on us. Amen? So tonight, as you reflect and you think about what's going on in our world around us, as you walk in with the burdens that you carried of maybe grief or sorrow, or just struggling with all of the chaotic noise of our culture that surrounds us, be reminded that the Christmas story is a reminder to you that the light came into the world. It broke the darkness. And because of Jesus, the light of the world coming into our lives, when we place our faith in him, we can find joy in the darkest of moments, for we know that he holds the ultimate victory over sin and death. And one day we will reign with him. And so tonight we gather to remember this truth, that in the midst of this dark world, as we exit these doors tonight, we can go with that hope in our hearts and that joy and share it and spread it with other people. And tonight we will symbolize that as we continue and end our service with a time of worship. If you have your candles, I'd invite you to pull those out. And in just a moment, we're going to light the candles in the front rows, and we're going to ask you to pass the light backwards through the room, illuminating this entire room as a reminder of the light that has come into the world that gives us our joy in the midst of darkness. Let's worship together.
We were God.
Son of God, love's pure light,
radiant beams,
radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace.
First verse again, Silent Night.
God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us this evening. Thank you for choosing to be here. And I just want to invite you, if you don't have a church family or a church home, we would love to invite you to come back and worship with us again. We gather every Sunday for two services at 9 and 10:45, except this coming Sunday. After Christmas, we'll have one service at 10:45, and so we would love for you to come and worship with us if you don't have a church home, so please do come back. The second thing we want to let you know is as we begin into the new year this year, we're going to continue to talk about some things, about things that we have been going through over this past season with a sermon series that is focused on having a biblical perspective to mental health and the issues that many people have been dealing with over these past couple years. We believe that God's word has much to speak into these areas of our life, and so we would love for you to also to come and join us and to invite your friends and family to join us as well. As we close our service this evening, I want to just remind you with your candles that you'll be able to extinguish those, and there are some baskets that are in the back where you can drop those off on your way out the doors. And then to close our service, would you join me for a quick word of prayer? Father, we thank you so much for the love that you have shown us that is so evident through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, and we ask that even though we are living through a time that feels dark, Father, we thank you that we can have incredible joy knowing that you have sent your Son into this world, and that through faith in him, we can experience joy in any season of life. And so, Father, we pray that as we would go from here tonight, that you would help us again to recapture the joy of this season, but also, Father, to go and to share it with others. We love you, Lord, and we give this evening to you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Have a fantastic, fantastic Christmas.